Welcome to What's the Buzz New York with your host, me, Nancy Lombardo. Welcome to the show. Okay, we're going to start off today in this dreary, foggy day in New York. Let's have something. What do we have? Okay, you know what? I'm going to re-air an interview I did that was a very good interview. Okay, here we go. It's with Taylor Negron.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm opening up the chat room now. Join the chat room, go to Blog Talk Radio, and just assign yourself a name. And get all set up here. Very exciting guest today, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, very exciting. I love this man's work. He seems to be able to do everything: actor, comedian, director, writer, artist. Just very creative. Just creative and out there, and we love that about him. Our guest today is Taylor, and I want to say it right. I believe it's Negron, and I'm pronouncing it correctly. In Spanish, I should pronounce it better. And he made his film debut in 1982 as a love-struck, pill-popping, dancing intern in Young Doctors in Love. And forever it's memorable Mr. Pizza Guy who delivers Sean Penn a pizza in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. But he's been in so many other movies besides that, and producing his own HBO special and appearances on The Tonight Show. In 2008, he received critical acclaim for a live show he wrote and performed, which debuted in the Green Room at the Edinburgh Comedy Festival. The Unbearable Lightness of Being Taylor Negron. Am I pronouncing it correctly? I hope so. A fusion of story and song. But he's done so many things, and when you see his face, you go, oh, that's that guy. I believe there's even a movie called that, Oh, That's That Guy. But he's going to be coming to New York this week, and he's going to be in one of my favorite shows or happenings called Tale, which will be this weekend. And it's coming Tuesday, I'm sorry, Tuesday. And I'll get all that information for you. I was looking for it, Alma. But first, I'm going to open up his mic for Taylor. Tell me how to pronounce your name correctly, Taylor.
It's Taylor Negron.
It's Negron. Okay. Yeah. And is that Spanish?
Spanish, I'm sure it goes even farther back than that. I don't know. I don't even know.
You don't know?
I think it goes back to, like, Columbus Circle, maybe. Probably up to 86th Street, Central Park West, West End Avenue. I don't know. I'm not one of those people that looks back. I'm always just looking in front.
You didn't have one of those grandmothers pounding it into you? Okay.
No way. I had a grandmother who smoked massive amounts of pot. We were continually moving. We were always going forward and giving everything away.
Wow.
We never
sounds like a whole other show, Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean,
really?
I think it's a lot better to be that way because people run around spending all their money on storage units and wearing albums from 1978.
That's something.
Because, I mean, we have to create a new world here, but it's hard to create a new world and stuff from 1987 because that was the thing used on that date. That's why all my credits, when you were saying them, they sound kind of...
Well, you have a lot of credits, actually.
I know, but all the credits, I am. I'm very lucky. I've been working since I was 15. So
when did you start out? You started out at 15 as a performer?
Yes.
Yeah, and doing what? Tell us what you did. Let's walk us backwards.
I was a model, and I got a job modeling for Hanna-Barbera Television. And I was a cartoon model for a series called Devlin that ran 4 years on ABC TV in the 70s. And, you know, was involved in the merchandising of that and a strategy of commercial, you know, marketability of television. So that's when I was 14.
Wow.
But that was a different Hollywood. But I grew up in Hollywood, and I learned the part, you know, the other part of it, which was a lot of my friends were famous, and I have a kind of an in with that, so you realize, wow, it's even more work than anybody can imagine.
Oh, yeah, so your credits go, you do have extensive movie credits. I know when I see you, I go, you know, there he is again. Were you ever a comedian at one point? I always think of you as a comedian.
You know, it's whatever anybody perceives of it, so it's really hard to, when you do as much as I've done, people will go, I just can't believe that you were ever in a movie. And I've done 100 movies. And then the people in the movies go, no way.
You've done 100 movies.
Did. Or
wow.
More.
Well, I know. I am only going from what the bio I received. And I thought that. I said, he's done more than that. So I looked you up also, and you've got an extensive
Stuart Little, the last Boy Scout,
Angels in the Outfield, The Aristocrats, Nothing But Trouble, Punchline, Better Off Dead. It goes on and on.
It was 30 years ago. It was such a long time ago. I started out in 1973.
Wow.
Nancy, where were you in 1973?
I think I was getting out of high school.
Yeah?
So,
I was just getting out of
high 73?
School.
Yeah,
so it's,
high school.
It's a blur, but, yeah.
It is a blur when you look at it. I know when I find... I'll be looking through, like, suitcases of something and opening it up and seeing, I was in the New York Times? When was this? And forgetting, because it does, if you're constantly working as you are. And you're also directing now, is that correct?
Yes. Yes, I just directed a show called Who Loves You, Baby? At the Soho Playhouse, a musical salute to Kelly Savalas, who was, a very big person. And Tom DeMena played Kelly, and we ran for quite a long time. It was a really wonderful show.
And as an actor, you did the Edinburgh Theater Festival, which is very impressive. Which did you like best? Which part of you, you're so many faceted, Taylor, which part do you like best? I mean, if you could separate it.
I don't consider them different. Because when you get up in the morning and you start writing words, it's just like painting. So you'll say, this is red, so it needs yellow. I'm going to blend the red and the yellow. I'm going to blend the more yellow here. I'm going to put green here. If you're writing a song, you're going to go F, 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 C minor, C, 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 B, B, signature change. It's the same thing.
You're a musician as well.
Well, of course, yeah.
Wow. And did you come from this kind of a background? Yes.
I came from a very, very creative background in, you know, the curriculum in the 70s in school. They gave you art, and they gave you music, and they gave you playwriting, and they gave you all that stuff, along with sports. So that's one of the things that I do a lot of work with is young people who don't have that in the system. You know,
correct in that, Taylor. I have noticed that in the last 20 years, even in the field of comedy, people don't do their homework. They have no background in, if you said Ibsen or you said, any of the playwrights, Tennessee Williams even, they have no idea what you're talking about if you make a reference.
And
they don't study.
These are the people that are going to defend us from China.
Yes.
And that's serious.
With the video game mentality.
Yeah. These are the people that are going to have no health, no welfare, no dental, and they have no clue.
They don't, it's a different world. You're like the Renaissance performer in that, as you and I think came from the same cloth, in that you should know a little bit of everything, from dance to music.
And it isn't even like everybody says it's exceptional, but to me it's normal for a whole group of people to know a little bit about everything. You know, one career goes the whole, and that's the everyone's.
It's so true. I'm losing you a little. Are you moving around? I'm losing
little. I'm in my bed.
Okay. From the bed of Taylor. And you're going to be performing now. That's a whole other show. I love your, when I was reading about you, I also found some things on Wicca, but the unbearable lightness of being Taylor. I love that title. But a fusion of story and song. I just love that you're more of a, instead of the kind of solo performer that just gets up and talks about their lives, you combine things. And I like that eclectic
excited. Yes, we're doing a tribute to the Blue Angel at the Lori Beachman Theater on August 6th, the Dutch Tree Club, with some pretty amazing people. So Logan Haftel, who is my accompanist and co-writer of all the songs, is coming into New York for that, and that's a really great thing.
Give us that date again and the website we can go to find more info.
I never even had a website. I don't have a website.
You don't have a website. That's true. I tried to find that, too.
I know, a lot of YouTubes. I know, and I never did. I'm too busy to work to do all of that, but somehow people find me, and I always am happy about that. Like
all right,
I said,
so what's the date for the Lori Beachman Theater? Let's get that again, the date.
Oh, August 6th.
August 6th at the Lori Beachman Theater. And that's a great theater. I hope you're going to record it.
I've never seen myself. I've never heard myself.
That is wild. What kind of actor are
you? Isn't
that
wild? What's that?
I said, what kind of actor are you? I've never seen myself. I've never heard
I've
myself.
I've never seen it. Well, there's a guy called Woody Allen, and he says the same thing. Once you do it, there's no reason to do it again unless you have to, for technical reasons. But it's so much more interesting to be, writing. There's so many things going on. But the people that are listening now probably are not going to go to the Lori Beachman Theater. So you want to do it right for them, the people who – I think that's what's so exciting about everything, is that there's always going to be one person that's hearing it. That's cool to me.
And I have performed for one person before, but it's when you're producing and doing a lot of your shows, too, but you won't be. You've got a large following, and this Tuesday, the 30th, you're going to be at Tale, a storytelling show with music. That's at the Three of Cups, I can't even say it, it's my neighborhood, threeofcupsnewyorkcity.com, and that's 83 First Avenue at East 5th Street in East Village. Go downstairs Tuesday, July 30th, 8:30 p.m., $5 cover, but no drink minimum. And it's a great lineup. It's you, Harmon Leon, I love him, Michael Small, Dave Arroyo, and Ella Devers, and Boris Calkin. I wish they would do the show with not one week I can pronounce everybody's name. But I love that.
I can understand that. Those are a lot of names. But, yes, Terry Mintz is great, and Harmon, and that's a really great show. Because once again, people are going outside of the box for themselves and telling stories. And stories are going to be the thing that illuminate the human experience during these dark times. And every one of those people.
Terrific. It's like no other show in that it's not like it's the moth or the slams or anything like that. The stories I hear are so from the heart and so wonderful. And you're going up with a lot of people, and there's a band there. I think you brought in the band, Afterbirth Monkey?
Yes.
Which
I brought in the band. They're very burlesque oriented and very interesting because you know there's a huge shift right now going on. It's about the people who are going to shows and saying I don't want to be involved in television. I don't want to watch TV. I don't want to know about any of that. And stay away from Disney and the Olive Garden and Victoria's Secret and go downtown and hear people's stories. That's what's so exciting.
And it makes it so much different. I mean, I'm a stand-up, and you just, I mean, as well as an actor, but it's also that I get tired of it. It seems like it's the same thing. It becomes only like almost a clicking sound in your ears, you know, la 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 like that. And then when you see Tale, it's so wonderful because sometimes the music's with it, sometimes the music's in between it. But the passion that I find that all the performers have for the story is the wonderful thing about it, that everyone is so passionate.
Yeah, no, it's really, really great. And that's happening across the country, too. There's a lot of stories like, you know, shows like Tale that are happening where people are just, you know, telling their story. And that's infinitely more interesting than the fake stories that they want to tell.
I just did a workshop at, do you know Covenant House? Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Covenant House in New York City. And these are like the lost kids, basically. And I just did a workshop about 2 weeks ago with them on comedy. Tough room. But some of them really were interested. And I brought up about Tale and about, they can't go because they're under 18, but about starting their own storytelling. And one of the kids picked it up, and I hope he's going to try and do it there and try and do their stories. Just a night there.
How great are you that you did that? Covenant House is a really good thing. That is sad, isn't it? Disposed people.
These kids are out there on the they're living on the streets. They don't know if they're going to be there a day or a year. They've got no one. These kids, and it's a great cause, Covenant House there. And it was great. I went in through the Friars Club, Sunshine Committee. We sponsor these events, and went in and did a workshop. And like I said, luckily I have tutored, when I was in college, I tutored prisoners in reading. So this was primed.
if you ever want me to do that with you, I'd be very happy to work with Covenant House.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they would love that. That would be terrific. I'll get you, after the show, I'll email you the lady's name. There. Are you a friar?
Yeah,
are you a member of the Friars Club by any chance?
I'm not.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay. I'll get you the name directly, and you can talk to her about it. That would be great. They just needed inspiration even. When they found out, I didn't tell them till the middle of my teaching that I was Spanish and Italian. So then I did my Spanglish act for them, and, you know, it was because you could reach them. When they go, yeah, that's so true, man. My grandmother said that. But it's great when you just, it's almost like we've gone full circle, Taylor. Don't you agree that we've gone creatively full circle back to, it used to be storytelling. Some of the great actors were monologists. Andy Griffith started out as a comedy monologist.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes. Well, yes, I mean, but originally the actors were Byzantine, the people that, you know, were the traveling, you know, the what are they called, the troubadours that would go and tell the story literally from hill to hill to hill, and the stories were memorized and they were transferred through memorization,
American Indians as well with that. And what other projects are you currently working on? Do you have any films coming out or?
Well, I have so many projects, and
that's great that you're busy. You're like the 3% of actors of the 50,000 or whatever in the unions, 3% are working. So that's very good. So what do you have coming out?
You know, right now they're all being produced and written and production designed. And there are 4 projects that I wrote, screenplays, that are being produced by other people. So it's
great.
Not fair for the directors that have not been hired yet or the actors that have not been hired on the projects to talk about that.
That's
but,
okay. Can we ask you this? Because, oh, I have another radio show. Sorry, listening. Betty Jo Tucker from Movie Attic Headquarters. I have a chat room going on alongside. There are people in there. I'll just mention them now. The Cat Ficcion from Wacko World, the Steve Mendoza Show, Vicky Chats, and you have a listener in Amsterdam in the chat room right now, Cyanide. Would you say, do you like solo or you prefer with people performing? Which one best? You like your solo shows?
Ultimately, I like solo when no one's talking when I'm talking. Ultimately,
really?
Absolutely. In the end of the day, you're better off having no one talking when you're talking.
And do you play multiple characters or just yourself in your shows?
It depends on the story.
Oh, okay. So you go back and forth with that. And that's great. So, I mean, you started so young to be knowing what you... Did you always know that's what you wanted to do? Or did you fall into it?
I had no choice about what I was going to do.
You had no choice? You were just put to work?
I was put to work immediately. I haven't had a day off since I was like 11.
Wow.
I mean,
we have the same childhood, I think.
Yeah. Literally, I've never had a day off.
Wow.
Ever.
That's terrific. And now, do you make your home in New York or L.A.?
I live in New York City.
And you've got to love, I love, L.A.'s nice weather, but I do love the accessibility of the people in New York, and that the fact that even at some place like Tail, you never know who's going to come up to you and just, they feel accessible. They feel they can go up to you and talk to you and say, hey, I really liked what you did, and this could be anybody, and it's a great thing.
I love New York. It's really great. I mean, it's such an alive place, and people are so engaged. It's the best audience I've ever had in the world. People care. It's that.
And they're smart. I have to say, the one thing I do appreciate is that you can do smart humor in New York. I just know that because I also produced a lot of shows. Did you ever do Surf Reality downtown? Do you remember Surf Reality? It was in the 80s on Allen Street. That was another avant-garde place. But I know that you can go and you can take chances and go, somebody's going to get it, and they will in New York. Because you do have a very educated audience to a certain degree. And I do think, as with Tail, that everything's coming full circle, that storytelling, I just find it refreshing. After
now we all have to agree that the world's story will have a happy ending. So that we don't talk about the world that New York floods and is uninhabitable. We just kind of are amusing ourselves as fracking is being brought into the Lower West Side. So we have to continue talking and addressing really big subjects that sometimes people don't want to hear. And that's what's really important, and the responsibility of each storyteller and person is to be engaged with really what's truly going on.
And I learned so much too. Some of the stories you just learn so much about just other people's backgrounds or childhoods. Or Terry Mintz always cracks me up. I never know what she's going to talk about next, and it's always off the wall.
She's really, really, really funny.
And Harmon Leone as well. He's a very good writer, too.
Yes. Well, she's these are people who really care about work.
And how do you know each other? How did you get involved with Tail to begin with?
Oh, I don't have a clue.
You don't have a clue? You just showed up and they said, hey,
No. I never show up. It's usually like many, many phone calls and a lot of calendar juggling and a lot of flight changes about when I'm going to be there. So there's so many. Like I said, I don't remember the machinations, but I do remember the spirit of things. So the specifics, I don't know. It'd be like, how did I get involved in the show that I'm doing with David Schweitzer, or how did I meet Logan? You know, I don't know, but I do know I do it, and it's really, really great. I think a lot of it has to do with Maggie and Jimmy, You don't want to know about this. This is important.
No, it's interesting because I know Terry found me on Facebook. We had, to tell you the truth, I knew Terry years ago and through another friend, and then she found me on Facebook and asked me to come down and perform. And I do find, along with this radio show, and I also have a cable show, that I find a lot of talent on Facebook now. I actually watch when people post their videos. I watch them. And I have found some very interesting young people out there, young and older, doing interesting things. And so I contact them through Facebook, and I put them on both shows. So it's interesting.
Good for
because,
you.
Yeah, you know,
really
it's interesting
great.
To me. And it's terrific. I mean, I'm a mom, too, but I get the great mom feeling in that when you find a talent and you just contact them, they are so happy that anybody is watching or listening. And I put a couple of, I found a young woman named Camille Theobald who does the Eucla letters. So she does ukulele letters to people who piss her off. And they're very good. And I've had her on the radio show and on the cable show. So it is a new thing. If you don't use just Facebook, I think, for just posting what you had for breakfast, it is fascinating. You can find some talent out there.
There's
now,
a lot
you
of
do comedy, comedy songs?
And
you
I have to go meet this young director who's doing this Funny or Die video for me at Nice Matin right now. So I have to excuse myself.
That's okay because we're down to the last 5 minutes of the show anyway. So this worked out. I'll play a song, but let's say check him out. He'll be at the Laurie Beecham Theater August, I forgot, 1st? What date?
August 6th.
August 6th, 8-6, and you can see him at Tail this Tuesday, the 30th, 8:30 at 83rd First Avenue, East 5th Street.
And if there's anyone who perhaps, let's say, lives in Holland, and is not able to make it to New York in the next 48 hours, I hope that they have a very nice day.
Okay. And there are some people in New York in the chat room. I see Steve Mendoza from the Steve Mendoza Show on BTR Radio. You should go check this guy out. He's really terrific. I'm going to try. I'm coming back to town. I've got to do some gigs this weekend, but I hope to be around Tuesday in New York City, and I'll stop by to see
you
this great,
it's
great
funny.
Show.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon. I'll see you soon, Nancy, okay?
All right, and thank you, and best wishes. All right, Taylor,
okay.
Thank you so much. What a nice guy. Terrific having him as a guest. Go check out Tail. Afterbirth Monkey, that sounds like a terrific band, too. How nice of him to take a half hour out of his very busy day. Hi, Kat. You were paying attention to the chat room. Hi, Vicky. Hi, Cyanide. All good. It's the last 5 minutes of the show because I'm doing a short show because I'm on the road today. So I think that was interesting. So check out Tail this Tuesday, all of you listening in New York City. Yeah, Taylor from the 80s. Go check him out. It's a good show, Steve. It's the new wave, this type of theater. So you want to check that out. Let's see what we can go out on here. When I play with my I got to play some Carozza. You know what I haven't played in a long time? I think we all need a little uplifting here to get the show out. Thank you. It was a short show, but a fun show. Listen, Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic Headquarters, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Check her out this week. It's going to be a fun show. Kate Wacko World, Monday through Fridays, 9 a.m. on BTR Radio. The Steve Mendoza Show, whenever he feels like it. Cyanide, Marco Polo, always fun. All right, so let's go out on a fun song, shall we, by Tom Carozza. Hey, Vicky, this is for you, you world traveler, you.
After Mass, just last Sunday, I speedified and I went out to eat. We each ordered a pierogi, four potatoes, two cheese, and two meat. Hers was gone within an instant. I had eaten six and still had two. Her eyes were full of love and hunger. So I asked, what would you do? She's my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl. She packs them in like no one else does. Yes, my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl. She's twice the girl that she once was. I had two surviving pierogies on my dish, wearing cute little onions like a vest. It looked better than I could ever wish, and could lead to cardiac arrest. My mouth was drooling and my taste buds were bursting from the smell of pork. But my baby yearned for my two pierogies, so I pushed them on her plate with my fork. She's my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl, my Polish ray of hope, a living dream. My ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl, she goes good with a spoon of sour cream. She smiled when she finished, what a date. Lots of love went into that meal. Our hearts and our stomachs did inflate, and the gravy on my shirt did congeal. Don't be stingy when it comes to your loved ones. Give them everything you've got without fear. Laugh and give thanks that you found her while you watch your pierogies disappear. She's my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl. She eats them fast and doesn't ever gag. Yet my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl, I'll never need a doggy bag. I'll never need a
our guest,
what's
Helen Negron,
New York.
And I hope you
Thank
all
you.
Have a great and terrific day. And I'm Nancy Lamar.